morning in the davening we left out Tachnun because it's Tu Bishvat. I think the Mordechai in Rosh Hashanah quotes that from the Bali Atesis. Mordechai was the end. Mordechai, the Rosh, and that was mainly with Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg. That was the end of the Tkufa of the Bali Atesis. So this was their minig. And it's based on the opening mission in Rosh Hashanah. Boy, Rosh Hashanah heim. So just like Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Tachnun. Rosh Hashanah Echa B'Tishrei. So Rosh Hashanah on the Ilanus also. What do we have to do with the Ilanus? So they quote the Pasuk, Ki Hoda Meitz HaSadeh. It's a Melitza. Ki Hoda Meitz HaSadeh B'Tmiyah. It says, Ki Sotzer Alir Lehilochem Aleha Letofsa. When you wage war against the enemy and you surround them, so it would be a good idea to chop down all the trees so they shouldn't have any food to eat. So it says, you're not allowed to chop down the trees. Is the tree the enemy? The tree is a civilian. What are you chopping down the tree? So the pasuk means, so the Rishonim quoted, that a human being is just like a tree, that just like it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilana, so that's Rosh Hashanah for human beings also. What kind of a pshetl is that? So my impression is, two tshuvas in the Chasam Sofer, Chelik Or Chaim, about celebrating Lag BaOmer, one tshuva after the other. Every tshuva has a date. So in the earlier tshuva, the second tshuva, he backed out from what he wrote in the first tshuva. But in the first tshuva, he writes that he heard that in Meron, in Eretz Yisrael, they celebrate Lag BaOmer by dancing and singing and giving the children haircuts, the chalaka. That was a minig by the Sfardim. Years ago, there were only Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael. In the 1500s, days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, they had a meeting to wait to give the child a haircut till he was 3 years old. They say the reason why is it's a chinuch for peis, that if you give the child a haircut earlier, he doesn't have enough hair that they should notice that you're leaving peis. But if you wait till he's 3 years old and you give him a haircut, you leave the peis, that'll be a chinuch for peis. And others give a different reason, something to do with Orla. The first 3 years, you can't use any of the Paris. What does it have to do with our law? The Pashtus is like in Hilchas Chalamoid. The Shari Tshuva, next to the Behetim, talks about that. You're not allowed to take care of Kana Chalamoid, but a little child before Bar Mitzvah is permitted to take care of Kana, unless he looks much older. But if it's obvious that he's not Bar Mitzvah, he's allowed to take a haircut on Chalamoid. And then it says they used to give the children a haircut when they reached the age of 3. And he quotes the reason why from the Svarim that were written in the 1500s. It's a chinuch for the peis. So the Chasam Sofer writes, he heard that in Meron, they celebrate Ayantif, and they dance and they sing. He says he thinks that that's a violation of Baltoisif. If they would listen to me, I would abolish the minig. Why? So he quotes from the Pri Chodosh on the Orechaim, where the Pri Chodosh talks about minhagim, establishing minhagim. So the Pri Chodosh says the simple pshat in the sugi in Rosh Hashanah. There's a whole sugi in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah about Megillas Tainis. During the Zman of Bai Sheni, there was Yomim Tov about Megillas Tainis. We must have spoken, no, on different occasions about Megillas Tainis. Every Monday and Thursday, that was another holiday, and they left at Tachnon, he wouldn't deliver any Hespedim, and you're not allowed to fast, that's why it's called Megillas Tainis, and you're not allowed to fast the day before, and some of them you're not allowed to fast the day after. On a Din D'Oraisa, Shabbos and Yontov, you're allowed to fast the day before, the day after. The Gemara says, Dibetar Enim Tzichim Chizuk. Then the Raisa, you don't have to be mechazeget, because the people will be careful not to fast on Shabbos and Yontov. But the dinim de rabbanon, Megillas Tainis only an isa tainis mid rabbanon. It's only a Yontov mid rabbanon. So dinim de rabbanon need a chizuk. So some of them need even a chizuk lifnei wuli achrem. And others only need a chizuk that the day before is also the day after is muter the fair. So the So the Gemara seems to say, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the common denominator of all of these holidays in the Megillah Steiner is between 25 and 30 holidays or so. In the Megillah Steiner's common denominator is they all have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. They all have to do with building the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding the Mizbeach, rebuilding the Menorah, Chanukah, or protecting the Beis HaMikdash from destruction, or straightening out the institutions of Hakrovus HaKarbonis. There were periods of time that the Tzdukim were running the Bayis Sheni, so when they straightened everything out, so they made a Yontif, and so on. When they improved the institution of the Kunig Doila, they improved the institution of the Sanhedrin Doila. Sanhedrin Doila is supposed to meet in the Beis HaMikdash. All of the Amtav Megillah Steiner revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara seems to say that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kam, you have no right to make a Yontif. It sounds like it's a violation of Baal Tosef.
Related to the Beis HaMikdash?
Apparently it is. That's what the Mefarshim ask. If it's Man Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, it's not permissible to institute a new Yontif. So the Gemara had the tradition that the story of Purim occurred before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. The end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, a year or two before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. In the Goyish history books, every 50 years they go back and forth. So I think now they're agreeing with the Gemara. But for many years they were disagreeing with the Gemara. They thought that the story of Purim occurred in the middle of the Bayis Sheni period. And then another 50 years they go back and forth. The history books keep going. But the Gemara doesn't have two opinions. Gemara assumes all the Agadot is all over. The Gemara assumes that the story of Purim occurred when there was no Beis HaMikdash. So the Achronim asked Akasha, the Shagasari, and the other Achronim, the Nesivis, they asked Akasha to explain that it did have to do. They felt that Nes Purim was going to lead to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Aschalta de Gula. Gula means when you build the Beis HaMikdash, and Aschalta de Gula means something that's going to lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the simple reading of the Gemara is like that. That's what the Pichodesh says. If you establish a Yontif that has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, it's not even an Aschalta de Gula, then it's a violation of Baal Tosef. So the Chasam Sofer thinks that Lag B'Omer has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. So he thinks that it's an Issa Baal Tosef that they celebrated like a Yontif, and he writes, Iyayashecheli Avatline, if they would listen to me. If I would have authority, he would do away with the whole Yontif of Lag B'Omer as celebrated in Meiron. But he used to celebrate Lag B'Omer in Europe also. They left out Tachnun. So apparently that didn't bother him, the fact that you leave out Tachnun. Why not? So that should really depend, as a machlokes, the Rambam and the Gaonim. What's the story with Tachnun? So the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah writes that there are a lot of dinim in connection with davening. You have to be dressed properly, and Nikoyen Hamokam, the place has to be clean. Different things that Rambam writes, and then he says you need Tachnun, you have to, it's a din. One of the eight dinim of Tefillah. You have to have Tachnun Nefilos HaPaim after the davening, except if it's Shabbos or Yontif. The Gemara says the story that when Rabbi Lezer Ben Hurkanis was ostracized by the Chachamim, Pasha Peshat, the Gemara sounds like they put him in Nidoy, they put him in Cherem, because they always disagreed with the majority. So the others say that they took a net that they're going to act as if he was Becherim. They didn't really put him in Becherim. It's a question. Simple pshat Gemara. They put him in Becherim. Put him in Nidui. So the Gemara says he used to daven at home, and his wife was the sister. Reb Leza's wife, Mrs. Reb Leza, was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, who was the chief rabbi who put him in Becherim. His brother-in-law put him in Becherim. The Bezin had to put him in Cherem because he was always disagreeing with them. So his wife was always afraid that he's going to daven that Hashem should punish his enemies. He was afraid that her brother was going to die. So every single day she would be mapsik her husband. He davened at home. She would be mapsik her husband in between Shemana Esra and Tachnon. So his prayer should not be accepted. That's what they say in Shulchan Aruch. You see from the Gemara that you stand a better chance of your prayers being answered if you recite Tachnun immediately following the Shemana Esrei without talking, without being mafsik. So every day she would be mafsik him. She was a good wife. She would be mafsik her husband. He shouldn't say Tachnun right away because she was afraid her brother, Rabbi Gamliel, will die. One day she thought that it was Rosh Chodesh, and she guessed wrong. Tomorrow was Rosh Chodesh, and somehow Reb Lezer knew, even though he didn't go to shul, he didn't let him enter the shul. He knew that tomorrow was Rosh Chodesh. So that day he said Tachnun without Hafsake, and the brother-in-law died. The moral of the story is that if you want to kill your brother-in-law, make sure that you say Tachnun Beli Hefsik. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara Bar Mitzvah at the end of Perek HaZohar. That part they don't quote in the Shulchan Aruch. They quote, you see from the Gemara that if you want your prayers to be answered, you shouldn't talk in between the Shemana Esrei and Tachnun. So the Rambam understands that Tachnun is a Choyva. You're obligated to say Tachnun, unless it's Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed or something like that, or Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then you're not allowed to say Tachnun. We don't really follow the Rambam. By the Hasidim is a Dovah Poshet, they don't. On Zayin Adar, they don't say Tachnun. And every other day, someone's Yahrzeit. Anytime there's any slight simcha, they leave out Tachnun. We do the same. The non-Hasidim do the same. We don't say Tachnun on Tu B'Shvat. What's Tu B'Shvat? What kind of a holiday is Tu B'Shvat? There's no cause, there's no reason to leave out Tachnun. What kind of story is this? So in my opinion, the Pashtus is that the Balei HaTosfos lived in Europe, and they missed all the mitzvahs, hatlois, baritz, and Eretz Yisrael. And they all realized we're all supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. So they wanted to make a zecher to the fact that we're missing so much about Eretz Yisrael. So they decided to treat Tu B'Shvat as if it's a yontem, so we're going to leave Atatnu. What do you mean Rosh Hashanah Golanus? What has it got to do with anything? So in Yiddish folklore, the Yiddish people who wrote poems didn't know Gemara. So they didn't know what Rosh Hashanah Leilonis is all about. So they visualize as if the trees are blowing shofar, as if the snow-capped trees, all the trees are wearing talesim, white talesim. They all have snow. And the wind is howling. That's the tkiya shofar. And they're all davening together. They're all saying in a sanatoykim. So chaleitzanis. Well, the trees are not davening. And they're not wearing talesim. That's not what Rosh Hashanah Leilonis is. It has nothing to do with our Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Leilonis, the Gemara says, is if it's the second year of the Shemitah cycle, the first 2 years in Mafresh Truma Gedola, Maaseh Rishon, Maaseh Sheni, the third year in Mafresh Maaseh Rani, then the fourth year and the fifth year in Mafresh Maaseh Sheni, and the third year in Mafresh Maaseh Rani. So if you have peiros that grow on a tree, the peiros are not so organized. They're not yekis. That they grow in between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. They start growing before Rosh Hashanah, and they finish growing after Rosh Hashanah. So which year does it belong to? Does it belong to Shana Shniyah or Shana Shlishis? And even the first year and the second year, that the Hafroshes are exactly the same, Truma Gedola, Maaseh Rishon, Maaseh Sheni, but the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Aser Ta'aseh Kol Tvua Zarecha, Ayotze Hasada Shana Shana, the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, the Gemara learns that Shana Shana, you can't be Mafish Mishana Al Chavetov. Can't be mafish from the pears that grew on 1 year to the pears that grew on the other year. You have to look up whether b'dieved it's chal. I don't remember the dinim. Whether even b'dieved it's not chal. I don't remember. But l'chatchil for sure, you're not allowed to be mafish mishan al-chavta, even if the hafroshes are exactly the same. So how do you determine whether it belongs to this year or that year? It starts growing before Rosh Hashanah, it grows after. The Gemara says that by tfuah it depends on havo ashlish. The moment that counts is havo ashlish. And by Yerek it goes Basa Lakita. And by what else? By Peres Ilon, fruits that grow on the tree, goes Basa Chanota. And what is Chanota? Is the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that Chanota means the beginning of the ripening of the fruits. And Tosfos says, no, it's way later. Chanota is like Havo Ashlish, when it's already edible. Havo Ashlish. What else do you have? I forgot already. Other things, go basar, zriya. They're different things. So by peres ilon, it depends on chanota. So when it, the chanota, so that's a machlek, is bishama and bisilol, and the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, whether Rosh Hashanah li ilonos, is echad bishvat or tu bishvat. So bishama, you have the opinion that it's echad bishvat, and we paskan like bisil. That is Tu B'Shvat. So if you have Peres or Ilon, if the Chanota on the Peres took place before Tu B'Shvat, then it belongs to last year, whatever last year was. Shana Shniyah, Shana Shlishis, Shana Revias, whatever it is. And if the Chanota took place, sometimes it's hard to tell when the Chanota took place. You have to have a sharp eye, you have to be a farmer to understand You have to know what Chanot is. Machlek is Rashi and Tosi. You have to figure out when the Chanot took place. And if the Chanot took place after Tu B'Shvat, then it belongs to the next year. Basically, that year. Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Tei B'Shvat. That's 4.5 months into the year. That if the Chanot took place in the first 4.5 months, it belongs to last year. And if the Chanot took place afterwards, then it belongs to that year, basically the next year. So that's what Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanus is all about. And then it's relevant for Orlom. If you plant a tree, so when is the end of the 3 years? So the end of the 3 years is the Peiros HaRasa B'Achila B'Hanor, Orlom. It's also B'Achila B'Hanor. But it's also B'Achila B'Hanor up until Tu B'Shvat. But it's not a Yontif. It's not a Yontif like Rosh Hashanah. It's a din, cut-off point. Like here, the fiscal year begins with July 1st or something in America. When's the cutoff point? It's not a Yom Tov. So the fact that we leave that Tachnon, we're really assuming like the Gaonim, the Torah quotes the Gaonim, that reciting Tachnon is a Rishu. So if you have a slight cause to leave it out, the Bali Ataisis wanted to make a Zecher, they weren't fulfilling any Mitzvah Satlis Baritz, they didn't even visit, there wasn't Shat, they couldn't visit Eretz Yisrael, they lived so far away. Not like today, you hop on the plane, you go visit Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't Shat years ago, didn't exist. So they made it into a minor holiday. One of the boys in Beis Medrash was telling me that he's making a Seder today. The Sfardim had such a make, to make a Seder for Tu B'Shvat, to eat different fruits. So he's going to have a Seder, a halachic Seder. He's going to have different fruits, and he's going to follow the din and the gemara. Which fruit you say the bracha first, which second, which third, and so on. Okay. But some people place so much emphasis, they're not so medactic on the Seder on Pesach. They're more medactic on the Seder on Tu B'Shvat. So this is like the Chasam Sefer says. He thinks that they're in violation of Bal Taisif. You have a right to make minhogim. The Gemara says that the minig, there's a Gemara in the Dorim on the Aptezvav, a minig, the way we read the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya, in the beginning of the third Chelek Yerodeya, has thoughts with Hilchas Shavuos and Hilchas Nidor. So there's a separate simon, maybe Resh Yudalet or something like that, that says Nidorim are binding midrabanon mitam neder. We consider, even though the neder always requires Levate bisvasaim, if Goma Beliba, it's not binding, Tzorch Lehoitze bisvaso, because it says Nefesh Kisishova Levate bisvasaim. But by Hegdish Balei Vischal, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in the Ra, Yomim Kol Nadiv Lehoitze Seviyu, whoever had pledged in his mind to bring a Korban Oilo, brought in the beginning of the Bai Sheni period, says they brought the Korban Oilo. So by Hegdish, it's Chal B'machshov. So Midrabanan, they treated all Minhoge, you have a Minik Toiv. So we say midrabanan is binding mitam neder, and there's bal yachal midrabanan, and there's a minik hayochid because there's a shvus hayochid, and there's a minik hatzibur because there's a shvus hatzibur. We're talking the other day about the three psukim in Shir Hashem, hashbati eschem and osi Yerushalayim. Apparently, there's such a thing as did we talk about it here? I spoke about it on Shabbos. Hashbati eschem and osi Yerushalayim. Apparently, there's such a thing as a shvus hatzibur. In the beginning of Parshas Bishalach, it says, Hashbiya Hishbiya is B'nai Yisrael. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Hishbiyam Shi Hashbiya is B'naim, Shi Hashbiya is B'naim. Because Yosef HaTzadik knew that his brothers are not going to be alive when it's going to be time for Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what does it help that they're going to swear to him to take Va'alisa Masatz Moisa Mizay Yitchem? They're not going to be alive. So he made them swear that they'll make their children swear, that they'll make their children swear when it's time to leave, they'll take his bones with them. So the Ragat Shavah has this right there. What did we talk about on the Parsha?
A while ago. No, we just spoke about it a little while ago.
So the Ragat Shavah explained that was kind of Matan Torah when there was no Tzibur, there was no Klal Yisrael. So there's only a Shavuos HaYochid. So the HaYochid Shavuos is not binding on his children. But Shlomo HaMelech says that sometime after the days of Yosef, after Maimon HaSinah, after they entered Eretz Yisrael, there was a tziruf of a tzibur. There was a din kol Yisrael arev mzeh bezeh, the din of Orbus, that the tziruf of the klal Yisrael began after the brochus of klolus at Hagrizim HaRevom. So then our ancestors, from many, many generations ago, before the days of Shlomo HaMelech, They took the shvua. Shbati Eschem Eros Yerushalayim. They took the shvua shaliyala b'chayim, that they won't force the issue. They won't pressure the Goyish nations of the world to give us Eretz Yisrael. So that shvua is binding on all the future generations, even though we never took the shvua. My grandparents, I knew all of my grandparents, my four grandparents, they never told me that they took the shvua. They never took the shvua. The shvua was taken before the days of Shlomo HaMelech, and it's binding on all the future generations. So the Raga Chava says, why? Because now there's a concept of a tzibur. So there's a shvua satzibur, just like there's a shvua sayochad, there's a shvua satzibur. So there's a minig hatzibur, just like a minig hayochad is binding mitam neder. So if the yochad took a neder of shvua, so the minig hatzibur is binding, as if the tzibur had taken a shvua. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara, that a minig is binding mitam neder. That's the Ran in the Dorim on Daf. He should have written on that Daf Tazvav, he doesn't. But the same Gemara appears on Daf Pei. So on Daf Pei, on the base, the Ran quotes the Balei HaTosfos. If in this Gemara you see that Menhagim are binding, if it's a Minik Toiv is binding mitam neder midirabban. It's not a neder min HaTorah because he didn't do Levate B'Sosai. But midirabbanon, a Minik Toiv is binding mitam neder. The Rambam seems to hold, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam seems to hold that only Menhagi HaTzibur are binding and not mitam neder. He's binding because if you'll violate the neder, there will be a p'china parish midarki hatzibur. But a minig hayochid is not binding. There is no such thing. Minig is not mitam neder. Doesn't say that in the Gemara, that is bayachal midirabbanan. So the Rambam in the Tshuva explains how he read that Gemara. He did not understand the Gemara the way it's quoted in Yerudeya, the way the Ran says in the name of the Balei HaTosfos. Apparently this is the chiddush of the Balei HaTosfos to read the Gemara like that. The Rambam read the Gemara differently. And he writes in the Tshuva that pshat is like this. One can raise an issue. What right do we have to introduce Menhagim? Isn't it a violation of Bal Tosif? The Torah says there are 613 mitzvahs. Lo sasef ala b'la sigur memenu. So how can you have Menhagim? So that's what the Gemara says, that strictly speaking, a neder should also be whenever you take a neder. To do something or not to do something, strictly speaking, every neder should really be a violation of Bal Tosif. You're adding on another mitzvah, are you adding on another Issa? But you see that the Torah, and the Gemara says, Kol HaNeder Kila Bona Bama. It's not right. The Gemara discourages people from taking the dorm. It's not right. And Yerushalmi has the Lashon, Lo Dayecha Masha Asra Alecha Torah. Not enough that the Torah prohibited all these dinim, Masha Asra Alecha Dvar Mahmatorim. You have to add on more. Observe what it says in the Torah, and we'll be happy. We'll be happy if we observe what it says in the Torah. So the Gemara says that despite the fact that Nidorim smacks from Bal Tosif, but the Torah says that strictly speaking, you're allowed to take a neder. So the same is true by Minhagim. A minig is like a neder. Not that a minig is binding mitam neder. It's permissible for an individual to observe a minig. It's permissible for a kehila to introduce a minig. And strictly, even though it looks like it's a shtickel Bal Tosif, it's not Bal Tosif. Just like it's mutter to take a neder, so it's mutter to take a minig. But the Rambam didn't learn that it's binding. The Rambam just says the minhag yatzibur. If a person violates minhag yatzibur, so that's parish midark yatzibur. That's the mashmois, the Rambam in Hilchus. We must have spoken about it. The Rambam in Hilchus Shchita quotes all the different treifas. So some of the treifas are treifim in Atura, some are treifim in the Rabbanon, some are treifim in tam minig. If the community has a minig to us, or a certain treifa, a certain disease, so that's a minig is also, we're not allowed to eat it. So the Rambam says, and what if the animal has such a disease? I forgot, he described something. He says, even if the minig is that you don't eat it, that minig is not binding, because the minig is only binding on a daba hamotzui, on a thing that's common. If it's a daba shena motzui, then the minig is not binding. Why not? So that's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained. The Rambam seems to hold that minhagim are only binding if it's minig hatzibur, because it's noticeable, it's conspicuous that he's being parish midarki hatzibur. No, he's not doing any avera. Parish midarki hatzibur itself is an issa. But if it's not so conspicuous, it's an issue that comes up once every 10 years or something like that. You can't say it's parish midarki hatzibur, it's not nikir. So then the Rambam says that such a minig is not binding at all. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rabbi Natam on the first Mishnah in Bava Basra. First Mishnah in Bava Basra says, Hashut m'sharos elasas mechitza. Two people are neighbors, and they make up, they want to build a wall, each one should have more privacy, So they both have to chip in if one of them wants, or both of them agree, whatever. The Gemara has a whole discussion what it means. So they have to build a wall. So how thick does the wall have to be? So the Mishnah says, if it's Gvil, if it's Kvisin, if it's Levenin, if it's Ariach, how thick the wall has to be? How many Tvachim thick does it have to be? And then the Mishnah says, and what if it's barbed wire fence, and what if it's this plastic, and what if it's other things, other material? So the Mishnah says, Hakol Kamina Gamdina. So Tosis is bothered with the Kashin. Once the Mishnah is going to end up, Hakol Kamina Gamdina. So what did the Tana waste his time to say? If you're using Gvil, Guzes, Kvisin, Levenin, how thick the wall? Just say Hakol Kamina Gamdina, whatever the Mina Gamdina is. So Tosis quotes the Rabbin and Tam. Vikan Yesh Lil Mod, that sometimes there are Minhog Yishtus, that you don't have to follow and you should not follow. If the Minhag HaMokom is that they make Gvil, Kosis, Gozes, Kvis, and Levenin thicker than what it says in the Mishnah, that's a Minhag Shtus. You're not Mechuyev to pay, to chip in for making such a thick wall. The Mishnah says, HaKol V'Gen Abdina, if it's a reasonable Minhag. If it's a Minhag Shtus, you don't. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over from his father, from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, what's considered a Minhag Shtus? They used to say, any minig that doesn't have any kiyum is a minig shtus. There are a lot of minhagim that have no kiyum. There are a lot of minhagim that have no kiyum. So they quoted, apparently, there was a period of time that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik lived in Warsaw. Warsaw is Poland. Moshe Soloveitchik was a Litvak. In Poland, they were all Hasidim. And they had different chassidish and minhagim. So they wouldn't eat machine matzah. They would only eat hand shmura. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Soloveitchik family, they ate only machine matzah. So the newspapers wanted to stir up a little trouble. So they interviewed Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. What does he say about the machine matzah? So he said, it's l'mahadrim and l'mahadrim. You should use the machine matzah for the Seder also. Then they said, well, what about the people who have the minig to eat davke hand shmura? So he said, it's a minig shtus. There's no kiyum, there's no heat, there's nothing with nothing, garnishment, garnish. And he gave this definition. A minig shtus is a minig that has no kiyum. So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain a lot, more so than everybody else. Moshe Feinstein and Rav Huttner, Rabbi Gifter, and there were many gedolim, Rav Kamenetsky, and many gedolim. They didn't speak so much about minhagim. Rav Soloveitchik spoke a lot about minhagim, much more than all of them put together. He used to try to find in every minhag what the kiyum is, what it being the kite. He used to say, the minhag of reciting Smiras on Shabbos is a kiyum deraisa of Kiddush. Because the Rambam says, you have to recite Kiddush, Zochas Yom Shabbos L'Katsha is a mitzvah deraisa. They recite Kiddush. So it's not sufficient just to say, today is Shabbos. You have to say, Shevach Hayom. You have to say the praises of the day. So we say, Yom Zeh Mechubad. He's saying that today is a unique day. So those miras on Shabbos, I think he said it's a Chubas HaRosh. I never found it. Okay, I never looked. I looked a little bit, I never found it. People told me they found it in the Chubas HaRosh. Okay. They used to say, singing miras on Shabbos, is a hider, you're yoytze with the kiddush that you said, yom tchil and amerikoi kiddush. Okay, you're yoytze. But if you elaborate on the theme and you sing zmiras about the uniqueness and the special kedusha of Shabbos, it's even more than the kedusha of Yontif, so that's a hider in the mitzvah of reciting of kiddush. And you would spend a lot of time on olam and hagam to explain what the kiyum is. But this was the klal. If you have a minig that has no kiyum, like I remember he was once talking about the minig, every minig has a good reason. Every minig has a good reason. It's not that minig shtus if you have minig that doesn't have a good reason. Even if you have a good reason, it's still a minig shtus. Rav Soloveitchik thought from his father, if there's no kiyum, so then it's called a minig shtus. So he would talk about getting married tachas kippas harakia. You want to invoke the blessing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Ayotei osa achutza. He should walk outside, srak rechavim tuchal lispa ko yezaracha. So when a young girl gets married, we bless her that she should have a lot of children. So we have a meaning that we walk outside and you get married, tachas kippas harakia, to invoke the blessing. So what are you being the kayim over there? There's no kiyum. So he used to poke fun a little bit about that. One of the boys asked him about, is it okay to get married inside the building, not outside? So he said he wasn't at the wedding, when his uncle Rav Elbala got married, his father was at the wedding, I think he said. So he said he seems to remember that his father said he got married inside the building. He didn't get married outside. Maybe it's the winter. I don't know. He got married inside. And he said, Rav Soloveitchik said, the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to the brachas that you say inside also. You don't have to say the brachas outside. He can hear you when you say the bracha inside the building. He was making fun a little bit of it. Rav Moshe Feinstein also has a tshuva where he talks about the minig, the gemara tachas kipsor ikia. He's saying, he's assuming also like that. Why is that a minig that's binding? There's no kiyum over there. It has a good reason. We want to, the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu, Vayotze Asachutza, Suakachavim, we know what the good, nice, beautiful reason. But what's the kiyum over there? Sefer Moshe fudges a little bit. Why is it? Why isn't it called the minig shtus? It seems to be assuming also like that. Minig is only binding of the zekiyum. So that's a shaila. What is this? Rav Soloveitchik used to complain a lot about the ceremonialization of Judaism, the Christianization of Judaism. He said by the Christians, everything is ceremonies that are meaningless. He said, but we don't have any ceremonies. Either Seder is full of ceremonies. He said, Seder is not ceremonies. There's a din deraisa to eat matzah, and there's a din derabbana zechan mikdash to eat mara. There used to be a din to eat korban pesach, and the arbakos is a takana derabbana. We don't have any ceremonies. We have real dinim deraisa, dinim derabbana. And minhagim, he said, a minig is binding if there's a kiyum. So there's a kiyum, you're doing something. But stumped to make a ceremony, he would complain. On Yom HaShoah, so they light six candles to represent the 6 million people who were killed by the Nazis. He said, Mazeh, you're making the Jewish religion like the Christian religion. Everything is full of ceremonies. It would make fun. So look, the Sfardim who had this minig to have a Seder on Tu B'Shvat, okay, that was their minig. But the Ashkenazim should adopt it. They make such a big tzimis about it. There are people who are not so medactic about Hilchas Kashrus and Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Taras HaMishpacha, but the Tu B'Shvat Seder, that's stuff ridiculous. What Tu B'Shvat Seder? So this boy is learning for Smicha, this very nice boy. He's going to make a whole, he's going to educate the people who participate in the Seder about the Seder Kedimus, which bracha you say first, which bracha you say second. Okay, it's going to be an educational Seder. But Stam... to have a Seder, it's in a certain sense, it's a minig shtus, in my opinion. It's a minig shtus. The Gemara has an interesting comment. The Mishnah says, Abor Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, there are more than four Abor Rosh Hashanah. There are more. The Gemara says, we took Abor Rosh Hashanah, which are on a Rosh Chodesh. So Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah, is only Kedivri B'Shamai. According to Bishamay, Rosh Hashanah Ilonis is Echad Bishvat. According to Beis Hillel, there are only three Rosh Hashanim that are on Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Hashanah Ilonis is not on Rosh Chodesh, it's on Tu Bishvat. So that's what the Gemara says. That Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, that says Abba Rosh Hashanah, means that there are four which are Chal on Rosh Chodesh, Kedibre Bishamay. It goes like Bishamay. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva once had a farm, and the Paris of Ilon had Chanote in between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. So the question was, and 1 year was a Maisa Sheni year, and one year was a Maisa Ani year. So what are you supposed to be Mafrish? So he was Machmer, like both Shitas. He was Mafrish, Maisa Sheni, and he said he declared it's either Maisa Sheni or Maisa Ani. So he gave it away to the Ani and Maisa Ani, and he told them they have to eat it in Yerushalayim, like Maisa Sheni. You have to be machmer. You have to treat it like machmer to be poyder. Rabbi Kiva lived after the churban. He lived during the bais and after the churban abayis. So you have to be poyder. You have to treat it like both. So Gemara asked the kasha, what was he machmer kedivrei Beis Shammai kedivrei Beis Hillel? The Gemara says, if you want to follow Beis Hillel, you have a right to. You want to follow Beis Shammai, you have a right to. But if you're going to follow the chumras of both, all of akasavim haksil b'chosh cholach. That's an idiot. That's foolish. The ksil is machma like b'sham and machma like b'sil. It doesn't make sense to be machma like both. And there are some people who will take the kulas of b'sham and the kulas of b'sil. One who follows the kulas of b'sham and b'sil is a rasha. He's not following any opinion. He's just following. He wants to make life easier for himself. Many people today do like that. They know that Rav Moshe is making on that. Oh, they follow Rav Moshe, Paisik Ador. Then they held Rav Soloveitchik. Oh, Rabbi Soloveitchik. And then they hear Rabbi Gifter. Oh, Rabbi Gifter. Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky. They're only looking for Chumers, so they're only looking for Gulas. Means that they're not following anybody. If a person is a Chacham Shehigila, he was entitled to his own opinion. Most people are not Chachamim Shehigila. Even Rabbanim who has Smicha, even from Wayu. Even Rabbanu who might have smirah, they're not. Not all of them are entitled to their own opinion. So you have to follow. You have to follow one rebbe. You have to follow the consensus of your rabbim. You have a few rabbim. You have to follow the consensus, whatever the rav is. So the Gemara asks, and Rebbe Akiva, why was he machmir k'divrei Rebbe Shammai k'divrei Rebbe Silo? All of our kosvim maksil b'choshe choylech. It's a tarte de sasri. So the Gemara says he heard that there was machloikas b'shammai and b'silo. When is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? Whether it's Tu B'Shvat or Chodesh Shvat, but he wasn't clear. His tradition was it was a suffix. Which shita was Bishamim? Which shita was Bisil? He knew the din is like Bisilo, but he wasn't sure whether it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. So that's why. So because the book in Misafkele, so that's why he was Machmer K'divrei Shneihim. So we do that a lot. We have Gemaras tell us the dinim. Then you have a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What did the Gemara say? So a lot of times in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Biyodeinu L'Hachriya, it's hard to figure out what is the consensus, what are the Rovo, Chloikas Tosis and the Rambam, Rashi and Tosis. So a lot of times they recommend, we should, Mishnah Berurah very often has that, he recommends you should be Machma for all the different Shitas. Just like we say, like Rabbi Akiva said, that Sitpukim Misafkala, he didn't know which was Bishami, which was Bisilo. You ought to be machma like both. So a lot of times we don't know which is the correct pshat in the Gemara, which is correct girsa in the Gemara. A lot of times in the Shulchan Aruch, especially in the Mishnah Berurah, they'll recommend that a person should be choshesh for all of the shitas, because it's taka sepukim misafkele. But I don't think we have to adopt this minig that the Sfardim have to have a seder on Tu B'Shvat. We should try to observe the dinim that we know we're obligated to observe. Let's try not to talk Lashon Hara, try to give a little more stuff there. There's so many things that we know we're weak in, well, we have to go look for more things. They tell a story about Rabbi Soloveitchik. I don't know if it's true, but I can visualize that it's true, that a woman once came to him, a girl came to him, she wants very much to wear a talis. Is it okay if she wears a talis? So to tell the story that he told the girl, you don't jump from nothing all the way. First get a talis without any tzitzis. And then wear it for a month, and then come back at the end of the month and we'll discuss it. So she wore the talis for a month without any tzitzis. She came back. He said, "Nu, what sensation did you have?" Ooh, she felt as if the Shekhinah was holding on to her. She said, "Wonderful." So he said, "It's ridiculous. There's nothing. There's absolutely no kiyum whatsoever. It's just your emotions. You're a prisoner of your emotion. There was no kiyum at all. You shouldn't have had any feeling at all." So he recommended she shouldn't wear the talis at all. You don't. That's what he used to complain in his public drushes and in his published essays. He complains about the Christianization of the Jewish religion and the... he thought it's not right. A minig is only if it's a minig has a kiyum. Yeah. So let's see. We left off here in the Gemara. We're learning Chulin this year. Okay. So we've got here a whole daf Gemara about the mikveh. Fascinating dinim over here. The pasuk says, "Uchumish ach mayin abor mikveh mayin yihya tohor." What does it mean? That a person who's tamei has a choice. Most tamei have a choice either to be tovel in a mikveh or in a mayon, either one or the other. A mikveh, the word mikveh means yikovah hamayim amokam echot. Mikveh means kovah v'kaima. The water is stagnant. It has to be be'eshborin. Eshbor means a crack in the ground. If the water is rolling on the surface of the ground, that's zerklin, and that's a psul deraisa. Rashi and Tosfos on the base quote that zerklin is a psul deraisa in the mikveh. And Rashi, and they quote, the Gemara has Chardele shel Shomim, and Rashi has Rav Haigoin, had a different girsa. Chardele is with a hay instead of a ches. It means the same thing. The water, the melting snow that's rolling down the sides of the mountain. So if you're going to be toivel and a chardel or shal shamim, that's no good. Zeichlin is no good. So a mikveh has to be covered with kaimu. A mikveh means if it's rainwater, if the water came from the sky, either rainwater or melting snow. It's only mitahar b'yashborin if it's covered with kaimu. And if the water, the Gemara in Tainus talks about the water cycle. Reblezer, machlezer, reblezer, rebishua. So we usually reject Reb Lezer's opinion. He was the one who was put in the chair by his brother-in-law, Rabbi Gamliel, and he davened, and Rabbi Gamliel died. That's Reb Lezer. So usually we don't accept Reb Lezer's opinion. Here it happens that Reb Lezer is the one who talks about the water cycle. Where does all the water come from? There's not an unlimited supply of water. The water rains and the snow comes down, then it evaporates, goes back up, then it comes down, goes back up. There's a water cycle. Rabbi Shua did not think so. Rabbi Shua thinks that there's no water cycle. And he proves it because the water in the ocean is salty. And when it rains, the water is not salty. Rabbi Lezer says because when it evaporates, only the H2O evaporates. The salt doesn't go up. The salt doesn't evaporate. So the salt remains below. And Rabbi Shua thought there's no water cycle. There's an unlimited supply of water in the sky. And it keeps on, the rain keeps on coming. New water, new water, new water. So today we assume, like Reb Lezer, that there is a water cycle. So all the water comes from the sky. But if the water came directly, rain or snow, then it's only mitahar b'yashborin. And you need memsor. And if it's a mayon, if the water came down, we assume, like Reb Lezer, there's a water cycle. But if the water came down from the sky in the form of rain or snow, then it floated under the ground for a while. That's a question, how much does it have to float under the ground? A foot is enough? Or you need dalaramas? Or you need a mil? How much do you need? So that's a question, how much? But if it floats sufficiently under the ground, then it shoots up. That's called a mayon. So a mayon is metahar b'zochlin, and a mayon doesn't need memso. Those are the two differences between a mikveh and a mayon. So the pasuk says, most tmeim have an option. Ach mayon boy mikveh mayim yato. Whether you toivel at a mikveh, you toivel at a mayon, you will become tohar. Some people don't have an option. So we said the zab. It says in the chumash, the zab needs mayim chayim. A zab needs a mayon. A zava mikra din does not need a mayon. We mentioned yesterday some of the goyim said like that, and we do not accept that idea because it's a beferish of Tosefta in Megillah. They both need Shivan Akin, they both need Hepsik Tara, they both have to bring karbonis when they become Torah, they both Mechusir Kapara, they both have to bring karbonis after they go to Mikvah, and they have Tara Shemesh, they need Hakrovas Hakrobonis to complete the Tahara. But there's a difference that the Zav needs Mayim Chayim and the Zava does not need Mayim Chayim, so Tosefta. Is there any connection between these two dinim? That the mayon is metahar b'zochlin, and you don't need memsor. And the mikveh is only metahar b'yashborin, kovah b'kaim, you need a shever, a crack on the ground, and you do need memsor. So we mentioned yesterday that there is a machlokes harishonim, where the mayon for tfilas odom, for tfilas kelim, in a Torah, you can be toivel a kli if you have a needle or a small kli. A needle will apply. If you have a needle that's mekabel tuma, in a Torah, you can be toivel it if you have a puddle on the ground. If you have a puddle on top of the table, that's not on the karka. The mikvah, the mayon, has to be agabi karka. So if you have a mikvah on the ground of rainwater, a little puddle of rainwater that has a revius or more, so in a Torah, a revius is sufficient to be toivel kelim that it tomei. If you bought kelim and anochri, if you bought forks and knives from a non-Jew, then that's a new din of tefilas kelim klei seuda. If you have cooking utensils, pots and pans, or glasses, or forks and knives, or plates, that kind of stuff, you need tefilas kelim. So Tosfos in the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah says that for that you need memsor min haTorah. by Tfilos Kedem. If the Kli is Tomei, you want to remove the Tumei, that Menatar is enough with Revius. But if it's Kli Suda and you need Tfilos Kedem, that's a different din of Tfilah. In the east of the Heta, there's a Sefer east of the Heta by the Rabbeinu Yoina. There were two Rabbeinu Yoinas. The Rabbeinu Yoina Hasfardi, who was a Mechutna of the Ramban. He wrote the Pirush on Pirkei Avos. And the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina Brochus is written by his Talmidim, who quote a lot from the Rebbe, from the Rabbeinu Yoina. So that's Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. He lived in Spain. And he was a Mechutna of the Ramban, who also lived in Girona. He also lived in Spain. But there's a little Sefer Issa Veheta by the Rabbeinu Yoina. So in Europe, when they used to print it, so they have on the title page, Rabbeinu Yoina Hasfardi, Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi, the whole story, it's a mistaken identity. It's not Rabbeinu Yoina Hasfardi. He never quotes Hasfardi at all. He only quotes Rashi and Balei HaTosfos. So it's a different Rabbeinu Yoina. It's Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. And they quoted in Yoredeh, every other page, every page. They quote the Issa Veheta Ha'orach. Issa Veheta Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi is quoted every page. There's a lot of psalkim from Rashi and Tosfos, a lot of minhagim. We always follow the Ashkenazim, always follow the Issa Beheta, and the Svarim don't follow it at all. Rabbeinu Yoina is Issa Beheta is for Ashkenazim. So Rabbeinu Yoina is quoted in Yoredeh. He says that what is Tfilas Kelim all about? If you buy forks and knives from a nochi, you have to be told on the mikveh. It's not an issue of Tumah V'Tahara. It's considered as if you're converting them. Just like you're not allowed to intermarry, you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish spouse. So you're not allowed to use non-Jewish kelim when you eat food. So you should be megayer your kelim. Interesting approach, interesting way of looking at it. So it's a different tefillah and a mikveh accomplishes different purposes. If you have the four things that are mekabel tumah, odem mekelim, ochel mamashkim, so odem mekelim usually have tefillah and mikveh. Kli cheres and mekabel tumah has no tefillah and mikveh, but normal other kelim other than kli cheres have tefillah and mikveh. So odem mekelim you can be tovel in the mikveh, and ochel mamashkim on mekabel tumah, and there's no tefillah. There's no tefillah in a mikveh. So there's one din of tefillah and mikveh to remove tumah by Yodim Mikaelim. There's another din tefillah and mikveh to elevate the level of kedusha. If a non-Jew wants to convert, whether man or woman, he has to be tovel in the mikveh. A kohen, when the kohanim are chosen, that would be tovel in the mikveh. Today he's born a kohen, so he doesn't have to be tovel in the mikveh. But when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and I want to put on the big day kohuna, so this bunch of big dayim aleim kunosim aleim. The kohen has a higher level of kedushas kunosh b'amigdosh. So the din requires it's a din deraisa. That when a kohen is about to put on big day kohen, he has to go to the mikveh because his level of kedusha is going to be elevated. All year long has kedushas kunosh b'gvulin. When he wants to be makor of karbonos, he has to put on big day kohen. Then he becomes kedushas kunosh b'amigdosh. He needs tefillah in the mikveh for that. And when else they need tefillah in the mikveh for elevation of kedusha? So Rabbeinu Yoina claims that when you buy clay suda from a nachri, that's a geirus, as if you're converting the kelim. It was goyish kelim, it belonged to nachrim, and now it belongs to the Jewish person. That's a shaila today. Almost every company who manufactures pots and pans, probably every single company is probably incorporated. So according to the Din of the Machusa, the International Din of the Machusa, you have a corporation, everything belongs to the dummy corporation. It doesn't belong, let's say the corporation is owned by all non-Jews. So according to the Din of the Machusa of the whole world, it's considered as if the dummy corporation said never belonged to a non-Jew. So that was a big machlokes from the last over 100 years when they started corporations. Do we accept that whatever is owned by a corporation belongs to the dummy corporation? Oh no, we don't. Rabbi Moshe didn't accept that. And many Hungarian rabbis, it was a big machloikis, many didn't accept that. They said, we believe there is such a concept of a chalashem b'alim, not a person, not a group of people. Chalashem b'alim, like tzedokah. If you donate money to tzedokah, it belongs to the corporation of tzedokah. It doesn't belong to an individual person, it belongs to tzedokah. Donate something to the Beis HaMikdash doesn't mean it belongs to the Rabban Shalom. It belongs to Hegdash. Hegdash is a Chal Hashem Bailim. Stoka is a Chal Hashem Bailim. Shevet Kehuna Shevet Kehuna also, when you're mafresh truma, it belongs to Shevet Kehuna. Shevet Kehuna doesn't mean a group of however many Kohanim there are alive today. No, Shevet Kehuna is a chal Hashem by them. Belongs to Shevet Kehuna. The halacha does recognize there is such a thing as a chal Hashem by them. But the question is, do we have the right to make up, to invent our own chal Hashem by them? We're going to say, whenever there's a corporation, it belongs to the dummy corporation. It doesn't belong to the people. So Moshe held that you have no right to do that. He held that the corporation is regular shutfas, and the kelim belong to the non-Jews who own the shares in the corporation. So that's a shaila. So today it's a question, does it make sense? Everybody's tov l'kelim, but the question, does it make sense to say a bracha? Maybe it never belonged to a non-Jew. Maybe it belonged to a non-Jew as metal. But then, from the time that it was made into a fork or a knife, it didn't belong to a nochri, to an individual nochri. It belonged to corporations the whole time. So maybe you don't really need tefillas kelim. That's why many have the practice that whenever the tevil kelim today, the tevil b'li bracha. Because everything is a suffix, whether who's the owner of the corporation. So and then there's a third purpose. A woman is a nido, she goes to mitzvah. We have, Rabbi Chonon Wasserman has an essay in his Sefer on Yevamos, in Kovet Zoharis. He has a beautiful Sefer on Yevamos. He writes beautiful essays there, covers a lot of topics, very important Sefer. So he shows that a nida is an avhatuma, and a nida is asura lebaila. She's asura to have tashmish. So there are cases where the woman is a nida lebaila, she's not a nida for tumah v'tara. There are cases that the woman is a nida for tumah v'tara, but she's materis lebaila. So the two are not interconnected. It's not that whenever the woman is an avhatuma of a nida, then she's asura v'tashmish. And when she's tovel in the mikvah, she's no longer temeyah, then she's b'teres b'tash. But you can have one without the other. You can have A without B. You can have B without A. So there are really three different purposes of being tovel. Sometimes you're tovel to elevate the level of kedusha, like geiris, like b'chiris koyanim, like when the kohen puts on big dekuna. The kohen gadol on Yom Kippur put on big dekuna 5 times. First he puts on big dezob, then he puts on big delovan. The avod is divided into 5 parts. He had to be tovel and mikvah 5 times. On Yom Kippur, each time he's about to put on big dekuna, he had to be tovel in the mikvah again, because when he's going to put on the big dekuna, his level of kedusha skuna is going to be elevated. So that's one kind of tefillah mikvah. Then there's a tefillah mikvah to remove tumah. Then there's a tefillah b'mikvah to be materish ala baila. It's a wild din. Let's say mashal amad David Ima, if such a thing. You have a tray for salami, you tie a little in the mikveh, it becomes kosher. There is no such thing. But that's what it is over here. The woman is asur labayla. She tie a little in the mikveh, she becomes materis labayla. It's unrelated to the fact that the tefillah in the mikveh removes the tumas nida. It's possible to have tumas nida without isa labayla. It's possible to have isa labayla without tumas nida. So it's a separate thing. There are 3 different dinim of tefillah in the mikveh. So we raise the question. Yeah, let's say a non-Jew wants to convert. So in the process of conversion, he has to be toivel in a mikveh. Has to be toivel in a mikveh, the shame geirus. Let's say he'll fall into he's swimming. A person has loose clothing, so no chatzitza. If you have tight clothing, so chatzitza. Loose clothing, so it has no chatzitzas. You have shoes and socks on, that's probably going to be tight. There's going to be a chatzitza over there. Let's say he's not wearing tight shoes and socks. So no chatzitzas. And the person is tamei and he falls off the bridge. That's how the Gemara has on the bottom of on the base. Second line from the bottom. Amar apap shenoflam in agesher. On lamed aleph on the base, second line from the bottom. A woman was walking on a bridge and her clothing is loose and she fell into the river. She had no intention at all of going into the river. So that'll be metahar helshilshu. That'll be ashayla, whether she's materis lebaila or not. Yeah. So what if, let's say, a ger is interested in converting, and he's swimming in the ocean, and he goes under the water. He's swimming under the water, and his clothing is loose. He didn't intend l'shem tvila l'shem ger. Probably no good. The Pashta says that there you have to have tefillah l'shem geiris. So that should really be, according to that Rabbeinu Yonah, that tefillah skelim hanikrim and anochrim, if you buy silverware, if you buy pots and pans from a nochri, and you have to be toivel it before you use it, it's not that it's tomei, you have to remove the tumah. Everybody's tomei today. Everything is tomei anyway. Everything is tomei. It's a din of geiris. So you really should say that the tefillah skelim, that when you buy clay suda, you have to be toivel mikveh, you have to be toivelet l'shem geirus, l'shem mitzvah. It's a pel on Shulchan Aruch, it says that if a goy takes the kli and he's toivelet in a mikveh, and a Jew is, the nochri doesn't have the manas to say that he was toivelet properly. But if a Jew is watching when the nochri is toivelet, then it'll be good. So that's a, nobody argues. That's a little problematic, no? If you all like that Rabbeinu, and in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that Rabbeinu Yonah. The Shach, I think, quotes Rabbeinu Yonah from the Yisra Het, that Tfilas Kelim HaKleisuda HaNikchem in Anochri is a form of Tfilas Shal Geirus. So if it's a Tfilas Shal Geirus, you probably do need L'shem Tfila, L'shem Geirus. So how come if the Nochri is terrible, why is it good? It's a bit of a problem, I don't know. The Nesek Kelim don't raise the problem. Nochomo, so we raise the question, there are two differences between a mikveh and a mayim. A mikveh needs eshboren, zochlenim is no good, and you need memso. And a mayon does not need memso, and zochlenim is good. What do you mean a mayon does need memso? A mayon for Adam doesn't need memso. So we mentioned yesterday, that's the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis quotes, that's a major machlokes among the Balei HaTosfos. And then the Rashba brought the Beferish Arayi from the Gematria. Mei Hashila Ha'ochim Liat. It's a funny moker. We usually assume the Gematrios are Parparos Lachachim. It's not from Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaZman. You don't have any dinim based on, all right, say, quoting Aremes. Okay, so Zayin Aremes. So that's a question whether Tfilas Odom in a Mayon needs Memso. So if Tfilas Odom does need Memso, so what does it mean in the Mishnah is that a Mayon does need Memso? It means for Tfilas Kelim. So that we explained yesterday, min haTorah for tefillas kelim tmeiim, you don't need memsor. Really, a revius is good enough. A needle can fit into a revius. If you have a bigger kli, a revius is the minimum. You'll need more, but you won't need memsor. So in the Rabbanah, they required for tefillas kelim tmeiim, they required that you need memsor. Tosis, we said Tosis in the end of Avodah Zarah says, if you bought pots and pans for the nochri and you table it, There's no din that min haTorah it's enough with the revius. They need memso min haTorah. That's a different kind of tefillah. It's not a tefillah to remove tumah on the kli. It's a tefillah of geirus. Tosfos doesn't explain it, but they just say on the level of the raisa, you need memso over there because the mocker had it. Where is the mocker in the chumash? Where does it mention anything in the Torah about tefillahs kli suuda that you have to be toivel lekelim before you use them for meals? So the pasuk says when they took all the kelim from Midian. In the end of Chumash Bamidbar, there was a Melchemes Midian, so the Jews won the war. So it says, Ach b'meinido yischato. Ach b'meinido yischato. They have to kasher the pots and the pins. They were treif. They took the clay suda from the army, from the soldiers of the Minyanim. In the army, they were cooking ham and eggs for breakfast. They were cooking treif for steaks for supper. They were cooking treif for food. So they had to kasher it. And then it says, after you kasher it, you remove the treifas, sometimes hagola, sometimes liban, depends how it became treif. Then it says, however, ach b'meinido yischato. So what does that mean? So the pshuto shon mikra means that if the pots and the pans are tomei meis, then you have to use poraduma water, b'meinido b'mei adayusa, water that you sprinkle. You have to have hazor shlishi shvi before you toivel it in the mikveh. If a person is a Tomei, he goes to the mikveh. But if a person is a Tomei Meis, he can't just go to the mikveh like this. He has to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi, and then he's able to go to the mikveh. Then the tefillah will be Metahir. So the Poshim Shat, Rashi and Chumash writes, the Poshim Shat, in the end of Chumash by Midbar, by Melchemes Midyon. So Poshim Shat is, after you kasher it by doing Hagol Alibon, Ach b'meinidu yischato, you have to be Metahir it by being Mazeh Shlishi Shvi, and then be toivel it in the mikveh. That's the push-up shot. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. That's the question. This additional level of interpretation, this is Torah Shabbal Peh, Adin De Raisa, or was it only intended as an asmachta? So that's some Rishonim are of the opinion that the whole institution of Tefillas Kelim, when you buy pots and pans from a Menorah, you have to be tovelet in the mikveh. Some hold that it's only midirabbanim. There's a question what the Rambam holds, because the Rambam calls it midivrei sofrim. So the Rambam uses the expression divrei sofrim for everything that's Torah Shebal Peh. But Torah Shebal Peh, according to the Rambam, includes all the dinim derabbanon, plus all the dinim deraisa that are learned out from the midrash haTorah nedreshes bem. The Rambam says kedusha kesef is divrei sofrim. Everybody gets married kedusha kesef. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, he doesn't think that the Rambam, famous Kesef Mishnah, he doesn't think that the Rambam means kedusha kesef is midrabbanon. He meant to say that it's a drasha of Torah Shebal Peh. Then the Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidos also, the Kesef Mishnah talks about it there. The Rambam says that Kroivim Apostle Eidos is a din deraisa. So min haTorah it's only Kroivim from the father's side. Kroivim from the mother's side are Apostle Eidos midibrei sofrim. So some understood the Rambam to mean it's only midirabbanon. Kroivim from the mother's side is only midirabbanon. And the Kesef Mishnah says, no, look what I wrote in Hilchos Eidos. The Rambam sometimes uses divrei sofrim to mean dinim derabbanon, and sometimes it means dinim deraisa. Whatever is Torah Shebal Peh, whatever the rabbis developed. So the rabbis developed, they invented dinim derabbanon. And they developed by reading in between the lines. They developed dinim of the Torah Shebal Peh that are minatorah. Some of the dinim are minatorah and Torah Shebal Peh, some of the dinim are midirabbanon. So that's a question here. When the Rambam writes that you need tefillas kelim, when you buy clay suda from a nocha, you have to be toivel kelim before you use it for food. Did he mean divrei sofrim midirabbanon, or did he mean Torah Shebal Peh? We assume in Shulchan Aruch that tefillas kelim on clay mateches is deraisa, and on clay zechuches is midirabbanon. That's the way. There is some hold that even tefillas kelim on clay zechuches is also minatorah. And others hold that the whole institution of tefillas kelim lagamre midirabbanon. So we have this compromise sheet of that. Tefillas kelim on clay mateches, on the silverware, that's their eyes. But if you have glasses, clay chuches that you drink from, a glass or a bottle, a pitcher, glass pitcher, we assume that tefillas kelim on clay chuches only with the rabban. That's a simple reading in the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah. The last daf in Avodah Zarah has all the dinim of tefillas kelim. So let's get back again. So the Mishnah says that there are two differences between, usually there are two differences between tvila in a mikveh and tvila in a mayon. A mikveh needs kovah v'kaimah, zechlin is a psul deraisa, and you need memsor. In a mayon, you don't need memsor, and zechlin is good. There's a machlekes of Rishonim. When it says a mayon is good even if you don't have memsor, is that gone tvilas kelim? Kelim atomei, so min haTorah, kli tomei, you can be tovelet in less than memsor. If it has to have a minimum of a revius, if it can fit a needle that's tomei, a needle can fit into a revius. If it's a kli that's bigger than that, you have a cup or something, so you need a bigger mikveh, but you don't need memsor. And with the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, and those, a bit lu Rabbanan le reviasa. The Rabbanan, when mevatel adin, that min haTorah, it's enough tvila on a kli tomei in a revius, they said you need memsor. So if it's a mayon, then they never instituted a chumra. Tvilas kelim that are tome. Tvilas klei seuda. Taisa said that's a different din, that you need memsor min haTorah. But tvilas kelim that are tome, so it's only midirabbanon that you need memsor. So that's when the Mishnah says if it's a mayon, then they never made the chumra midirabbanon. It's enough if it has a revius, and it has to be big enough that the whole kli should be fit into the mayon, the basachas. You have to have tefillah. Whenever a person is tovel, it can't be tovel a limb at a time. You have to be tovel kol gufa ila bevasachas. So the same a kli. If you have, we mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah in Mikvah talks about a woman only has one bed. So every month she has to take a bed to the mikvah with her. And a lot of times the headboard, the wooden boards on the bed are taller than the depth of the mikvah. She has to take apart the bed and hold it sideways. I'll push the legs into the floor of the mikveh. Used to be a dirt floor, so she'll push the legs into the dirt floor so that the top of the wooden headboard will be submerged below the surface of the water. But the question is, but the legs are stuck in the mud, so the legs are not in the mikveh. So the Mishnah discusses when is it good, when is it no good. When do you say hamayim mekadmim? When do you say there is a little bit of water in between the legs of the mikveh and the mud below and the dirt floor of the mikveh? So maybe that's good enough. So there's a whole discussion in the Mishnah. So that's the shaila when you say that a mayon doesn't need memsor. Does that only go on tfilas kelim tmeim? Does it even go on tfilas adam? So the bir hagra in Yeridea, you have one simon about hilchas mikvos. I think simon reish aleph, if I'm not mistaken. Either simon reish or simon reish aleph, something like that. So the bir hagra on the first page in hilchas mikvos quotes a rivosh. The rivosh was in the days of the Iran, the days of the Rishonim. Where did the rivosh live?
Algerian.
So the rivosh, who was the gadol hador of that generation? Who was the gadol?
Tashbetz.
I think that somebody writes, right, Chizdoy Kreskes was the big gadol hador. From Chizdoy Kreskes we have a sefer Or Hashem on philosophy, on Emuna. But we have every 50 pages of the Shita Mekubetzes quote something from Chizdoy Kreskes. He's known as a philosopher, but somehow I think they write he was the outshadowed the others. He was the gadol hador. Okay, we don't have too much from him. The time of the Tashbetz and the Iran, okay. So the Bir HaGra quotes this Rivosh that these two dinim are interconnected. And the Vilpin Gaon goes through it. He says, and what the Rivosh says seems to be what Rashi writes on Amid Beis. And Tosfos says, Tosfos Yom HaMaschol Gezerim Shem Charlas Tosfos Bechinam. Rashi wrote it Bechinam. So Rashi writes on Amid Beis, what's Yadua B'Shem the Gra and the Gra quotes it from the Rivosh. Now, why is it that Zeuchlim is no good for a mikveh? So Tosfos says, why is Zeuchlim no good? Because it says in the Chumash, mikveh. Mikveh means the word kovah bekami, kovah amayim. That's the definition. So Rashi says, sounds like he says otherwise. He says, because we have a din that notzik v'katafris ein achipur. What does it mean, notzik v'katafris ein achipur? What do the words mean? So what it means is like this. Let's say it rains and you have a big puddle of 20 saw in one location on the side of the mountain on a plateau, and then you have lower down another puddle of 20 saw, but neither has 40 saw, and then the water is still rolling down on the side of the mountain. The water rolling on the side of the mountain is connecting the puddle on the higher level that has 20 saw with the puddle on the lower level that has 20 saw. So that's the din that notzik v'katafris ein achibur, and you left neither has memsaw. So you don't have a mikvah of memsaw, so you can't be tovel there. Let's say you have two puddles on the same ground level. This puddle has 20 saw, this puddle has 20 saw. And then there's a pipe that connects in between the two of them. And there's water in the pipe. So that the water is not moving. Notzik v'katafres al pipashtas means, notzik v'katafres means if the water is zechlim, if the water is floating down, rolling down the side of the mountains, the hardalis, or the chardalis, same thing, if the water is rolling down the side of the mountain, that's ein achibur, because it's zechlim. So because that's one din of notzik v'katafres ein achibur. What's another din of notzik v'katafres ein achibur? Let's say someone is pouring, a Jewish person is pouring wine, and a nachri sticks his finger in the wine. So the Gemara is in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah that maga nachri asses wine midirabbanim. Maga nachri asses midirabbanim. So what if the Jew who's pouring the wine stops pouring the wine? So the nachri touched the wine over here. The wine fell down in a cup. What about the wine that remains in the bottle? So let's say there's a bottle full of wine and a nochri sticks his finger in and he touches the wine. So all of the wine is chibur. All the wine in the bottle is chibur. You don't say only the wine that he touched. The location that he touched that wine is asa b'achila and the rest of the wine is mutter. No. It's all one big chibur, a whole bottle full of wine. There's a bowl full of wine. Nochri touches one. So I say, maga b'mekzosik and maga b'kulo. So would you say, if a Jew is pouring wine, the nochri touches part of the wine that's flowing, f- f- falling down, Natzik v'katafris, so even the wine inside the bottle on top, and then the Jew stops pouring the wine. What about the wine that remains back in the bottle? Would you say Natzik v'katafris chibos, so the maga akamas is even the wine in the bottle? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. That's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechab and the Ramo. Where they say Natzik v'katafris, we paskan eino chibor, but for stam yeinam, the Ramo is machmer. Machlokes and Tais is there in the end of Avodah Zarah, where they say Natzik v'katafris is chibur. So the Bir Agroa quotes this from the Rivosh, and Rashi says that on Ardav. The reason why you need Kovu v'kaimi by the Hamikveh and Zochalim is no good is because if the water is rolling down the side of the mountains, by definition, you don't have Memso. Because Natzik v'katafris eino chibur. Natzik v'katafris means if the liquid is flowing, either flowing on the side of a mountain or pouring in the air. They're both Natzik v'katafris. So it's eino chibur, so by definition, you don't have Memso. Each particle of water or each particle of wine is on its own. It's not mechubit together. If you have a bowl of wine and it's sitting there, so then it's one unit, it's chibur. So if a nochri touches, he puts his pinky in, he touches one little bit of wine, I say, let's say there's a long Italian bread, and Adam Tami touches one end. It's one piece of bread. If you have sliced bread and Adam Tami touches the first slice, so the first slice is Tami, that slice may be mitami the next slice. Yeah, what are the dinim? Whether a piece of oichlim that was mekabel tumah is mitami another piece of oichel? Is oichel mitami oichel? Maybe oichel is not mitami oichel. Okay, you got to figure out what are the dinim. But if you have a long bread that's not sliced, even though the adam tumah only touched one end, that's a din. It's one unit. Al pi din, so maga mimkasa kamaga bekulam. So if you have a bowl of wine and it's sitting still and a nachri touches a little bit, it's all one big chibur. So magim and mitzosa ke magim bekula. Just like magim and mitzosa ke magim bekula, benegeh to tuma. So magim and mitzosa ke magim bekula, benegeh to nachri, shenogeh b'mayim. Benegeh b'yayin. So again, so Rashi writes over here like this Rivosh, quoted by the Bir Agro, that these two dinim are interconnected. The reason why Zochlim is not acceptable by a mikveh is because a mikveh needs memso, and if it's Zochlim, if it's rolling, so Natzik v'katafris eino chibur, so you don't have memso. But by a mayon does need memso. So since a mayon does need memso, so therefore Zochlim is good. So a mayan is metahir b'zochlin. So the Bir Agro is working on the assumption that mayan doesn't need memso for tefilas Adam. Against the gematria, me hashilach aholchim liat. So he's working. His Bir is working, and he says so. He quotes from the Rivash. His hope shot that the two are interconnected only works if you assume that a mayan does need memso even for tefilas Adam. Because if you need memso for tefilas Adam, then the mayan by definition is zochlim. The mayan is rolling. So if it's rolling, there's no chibur. So you don't have memso by definition. You don't have memso. So there's a sefer Imre Moshe. The author of the sefer is Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. He first put out, he was a big Talmid Chacham, he first put out a sefer on the Din of Avecha Nefesh. I forgot already, what's the sefer name? It's Malachas Yantav, I think. Malachas Yantav, all about Avecha Nefesh. So it's like the Pnei Yeshua style. He quotes the Pnei Yeshua, he quotes the Megin Shlomo, he was the Pnei Yeshua's grandfather. Megin Shlomo is a sefer to defend Rashi from all of the kashas of Tosfos. Rashi was a Shlomo Yitzchaki. So the beginning Shlomo defends Rashi. He paraphrases all the Tosfos kashas. So this sefer Malachas Yanta by Rav Moshe Sokolovsky, he wrote this sefer before he learned Barab Chaim. That's all normal style of learning. Then he learned Barab Chaim, and it's like a new Maimon Hasina, like a new Nitin Torah Minas Chatsha Alocha. and he wrote the sefer that he wrote later on life is called the Imre Moshe. So that he quotes Rav Chaim a lot, and he uses different vocabulary, has a whole different way of writing and a different way of thinking. Everything is different from the old style. So the first page, the first 38 pages in the sefer, is a long tshuva about mikvahs, and on the first page, he talks about this. This Bi'ur Agra B'Shem Rivash is working on the assumption that a mayan doesn't even need mem sof for tefilas Odom. So since you don't need memsor, so zechlim is good. The reason why zechlim is not good by a mikveh, because you need memsor, and notzik v'katafres ein achibah. So the memsor is not mitzurv to each other. Every particle stands by itself. But since a mayan does need memsor even for tefilas Adam, so it doesn't bother me the fact that the mayan is zechlim, because so it's notzik v'katafres. So that does matter. You don't need memsof. See, he writes, or Moshe Sokolovsky writes, the first page in the Imre Moshe. The Imre Moshe is known for his other tshuvas. Imre Moshe and Shabbos the tshuvas. So he's known for the other tshuvas, by Erech Simakarse, the Mesirakarse, who has gotten a lot. But he has not only Noshim and Ezekiel, he has the first 38 pages, is a long essay about Mikvos. So on the first page he suggests, you don't really necessarily have to assume that a mayon doesn't even need memsof at filosad. Even if you listen, you do need memsof. Why do you need memsof at filosad? So the Gemara says, because we learn from a pasuk Baruchetz is called besara b'mayim. And the Gemara understands from the word called besarai that the mikveh has to be such mayim shekol gufo elohem b'asachas. You have to be told the whole body should be submerged under the water at the same time with the air. Rochatz es lerabbis hatofel es besora. Not only do you have to be tovel the body, the besora, you have to be tovel the hair also. Es is hatofel, so even the hair. So you have to have the hair with the body. Everything should be submerged under the surface of the water in the mikveh bevasachas. So v'shia, and then the loshon and mishnah v'shia ruchachamim. The chachamim established that you need bemsom. So is that always true? You need memsor, whether you're a big, fat giant. You need memsor, you're a tiny little baby. A tiny little baby can fit into less than memsor. A big, fat person needs more than memsor. So that's a question when it says in the Mishnah, "Bishiaru chachamim." So some say that in a Torah, you don't really need memsor. All you need is ma'am shekogu fa'adohem v'asachas. He has to be able to be submerged under the water. And it's only with the Rabbanah that they made a loy plug that you always need memsor. But sometimes you need more than memsor. The Aruch HaShulchan writes it, David Pashim. Let's say a guy is a giant and he's very fat. He's not going to fit into memsor. So the Minchas Aluza was the son. Minchas Aluza was the Minkatcher Rebbe. So his father wrote the Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva is a Likud of Acharonim on Yerideya. And every Sif in Yerideya, he quotes a Likud of Bali Acharonim. And the father did the work. He had a whole group of boys in his yeshiva. They all worked together on the Darkei Tshuva. But he never did. The father didn't do the work on Hilchas Nida Mikvot. So the son, the one who wrote the Minchas Aluza, he was the anti-Zionist. He was the main Hungarian rabbi who was opposed to the Zionist movement. And he used to always curse the Zionists in public. He cursed the secular Zionists, and he cursed the Mizrahi, Yimach Shmon. The Mizrahi is worse than the secular Zionists because they made into a mitzvah, and they are good at bigger Rishoim than the Mizrahi because they claim that they're anti-Zionism, and they're not. They're fakers. They're also Zionists. He's always cursing. I remember I used to be friendly with a man who was from Munkach. He says he was 95 years old when I knew him. He died a couple of years ago. So he says he still shudders. He still shakes when he reminds himself about the Minchas Aluza's drushes and shul. He would curse to all the Zionists in public. Talking about religious Jews, Mizrahi, the Agudah, he would curse everybody. So he did the work. He did the work on the Darkei Tshuva and Hilchas Nida Mikvos. So he quotes this from the Aruch HaShulchan. If a guy is tall and fat, then you need more than Memsor. He won't be able to fit in. You have to have Maim Shulchan Gufa Olabayim V'Vasachas. So he has a taina, apiturses. The Gemara says memsos. Shiurim is halacha l'moshe nesina. How can you tell me that if the guy is a giant and he's fat that you need more than Memso? What kind of a silly kasha is that? He can't fit in. He's a giant. He's not going to fit into Memso. Of course he need more than Memso. Memso is the minimum. I don't understand what the kasha. I thought there are chashuch and there's common sense. It's like that. The guy just doesn't fit in. So you need... Shira Chachamim is a loy plug, even if you're a baby, even if you're an infant, and you can fit into 20 saw. So the Shira Chachamim, either it's a din de rabban on Shira Chacham, or it's a din de raisa, one or the other. Most assume that mem saw is a din de raisa. Most Rishonim assume mem saw is a din de raisa, not a din de rabban. And some say that Shira Chachamim indicates that it's a din de rabban. So the Imre Moshe has like this. He says, you can say like the Rivosh and the Bir Agroa, and you can still hold that Maya needs Mem Sof and Tvila Sodom, because there's still a difference. A mikveh needs Mem Sof, you need a shear of Mem Sof. You need the water should be Mechuba Yachat. So if it's going to be Zechlim, Zechlim is not Zechvach Katafra Zenechiba, so you don't have a shear of Mem Sof in the water. But Maya and Alpidin, Kol Shehu is good. But you have to have mayim shel kol gufa oil behem bevasa achas v'shira chachomim mem soa. So there you need mem soa for the maisa hatfila. It's not that you need mem soa nechepze. He doesn't use the word maisa hatfila versus chepze, but that's what he's driving at. The mem soa by a mayon is because you have to have mayim shel kol gufa oil behem bevasa achas. And even if he can fit into 38 soa, he doesn't really need, but that's shira chachomim. The Aloha has established either Menatorah the Rabbanon, probably Menatorah, that less than Memsoah it's considered as if it's not Kol Gufa Oilu Behem Basachas. So for that, you don't really need that the Memsoah should be Mitzuraf Yachad. So you don't need that it should be one unit, Chibur. So that doesn't bother me that it's Zerchlin and Menatzik with Katar for Sein Achibur. So what? But Lamai said the whole body is Oilu Basachas. The whole body is submerged under the water Basachas. But in the Mikveh, the Din of Memsoah is a Din of Nechepze. The chepza has to be the chepza, the mikveh has to have memso. Doesn't have memso, so it's not a kosher in mikveh. So if it's not, it's a katafra, so it's no good. When you have, you know, there's a din of maim she'uvim. If you have, if the water was contained in a kli, and then you pour it into the mikveh, so maim she'uvim is no good. That's a big machlekes in Tosfos, Diri and Rabbein Tam. There's a little Tosfos in Bava Kamma and Perek Merubah, and then the gigantic Tosfos in Bava Basra, in the middle of Bava Basra, Mechas HaSvina, whether Mechas HaPeres, I think, whether the din of Maim Shuvim by a mikveh is that a din deraisa or a din derabban. If you have Gimel Lugim, if you have a mikveh that has 30 saw, you didn't fill it in yet. That yet it's a mikveh chaserah, doesn't yet have the mem saw. And you pour in Gimel Lugim, Maim Shuvim, so that passes the whole mikveh. You have to empty out all the water and start all over again. So that din is only a din de rabbanon. A gimel lugim maim shuvim passel the mikveh. You have to start all over. That's min de rabbanon. What if you have a mikveh that's kulo sha'uv? All the 40 saw are shuv. Well, you have 21 saw are shuvim and 19 saw are not shuvim. So rubo shuv, a kulo shuv. So that's a machloikis in Tosfos, Diri and Rabbein Tam. Whether there arise in the Gemara all over and on both directions. Whether Shuvim is a din deraisa, a din derabban, if it's Ruboshov or Kuloshov, is that a din deraisa, a din derabban? Machlokes halacha mais in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Ramah. Mechaber paskens that Kuloshov is only derabbanon, and in Maim Shuvim we have a lot of Kulos, more Kulos than another din in derabban. The Mechaber is Mekel a lot in Shuvim, and the Ramah is Machma like that opinion that Kuloshov or Ruboshov is a psul deraisa, so all the various Kulos wouldn't apply. So we have the din. If you have Maim Shuvim, is there any way all the water in the world by now is Maim Shuvim? There's a water cycle. So every drop of water that came down from the sky in the form of rain or snow, it's already 6,000 years since Adam and Eve. So every drop of water must have been held in a kettle or a pot of soup or a glass at some time or another. So all the water in the world is, by now, all the water is Maim Shuvim. We assume that there's a water cycle. So how do you ever have any mikveh? The answer is that once it evaporates and goes back and it comes down, Panim Chadash Bolakan, it's no longer called Shuvim. So what's the din? Is there any way to remove the status of Shuvim before it evaporates and goes up and it comes down again? So the Gemara says yes. If you make Chibur, let's say I have We said there are four categories of things that are mekabel tuma. Odem mekelim, ochel mamashkim. Two of them have tefillah b'mikveh. Odem mekelim, except for klicheres, has no tar b'mikveh. And ochel mamashkim has no tar b'mikveh. So nonetheless, even though it has no tar b'mikveh, there is a din of hashoka. Let's say you have a cup of water that's tomei. I'm tomei. I stuck my finger into the water, so I make the water tomei. Is there a way to be mitar water? So we say has no tefillah and a mikveh. So the Gemara says, but if you do hashoka, then it becomes tov. What's hashoka? I'll take the cup of tomei dika water and I'll hold it slightly under the surface. I don't have to hold the whole cup under the surface of the water. I'll hold it in such a way that the water of the mikveh is connecting with the water in the cup. Hashoka for a second, and then I'll take out the cup from the mikveh. So if you do hashoka can be metaher, the mayim tmein. So we assume that just like hashoka removes the status of tumah, that's on the level of the raisa, just like hashoka helps to remove the status of tumah, so too if you do hashoka with mayim shuvim, if you do hashoka mayim shuvim, that'll remove the status of mayim shuvim. It's considered as if and every time the Gemara says that, Rashi will always go into this long arichas. Either din is that the ochel mamashkim have no tar b'mikveh, only odem mekelim, and water is mashkin. So mashkin doesn't have tar b'mikveh. The akam hashok helps to take off the tumah. The Rashi always, every a few places in Shas, Rashi will always yes that kasha. I'll give you the teretz. It's not that hashok is like tefillah and mikveh. The din is it's like zriya. Let's say I have a potato that's tummy. Another tummy touch the potato. So the potato is tummy. I have an orange that's tummy, whatever. Another tummy touch the orange, makes it tummy. I take the orange, I take the potato, the apple, and I plant it in the ground and it takes root. So that's a din. When you do zriya, when you plant something in the ground, whatever tumah it had disappears. Dovam b'chuba l'karka is not mekabel tumah, and even if it was tummy before, when you plant it in the ground, so you just put it under the ground, you cover it up with sand, that's not called Zriya. Zriya means if it starts to take root in the ground, then Zriya is Metaher, the thing that you put in. So Rashi says, Rashi quotes, there's a Pasuk in Navi, V'zareya mayim al panei chutzas, that we have water in the puddle on the ground, that's considered as if it's Zorua in the ground. It's not what we would call Zorua. We would call Zorua if you have fruits or vegetables or grain, was planted and it took roots in the ground. That's Zriya. So the Pasuk tells us that if you have water in a puddle on the ground, that you put the water into another body of water. There's a body of water on the ground. If you have a cup of water that's tummy, pour the water on the ground, that's not called Zriya. But if you have a puddle of water that's a mikveh, if you have a puddle of water on the ground that constitutes a mikveh, and you take a cup of tummy dika water and you pour it into the mikveh, the water that's tummy becomes toha, not because water has tefillah b'mikveh, no. Ochel mamashkim have no tefillah b'mikveh. It becomes toha because of the din of Zriya. Based on the pasuk, v'zarei mayim al panei chutzais. These are all hakdamas. You need a lot of hakdamas here. Let's see what's doing on Amud Aleph. Let's see on the bottom. The Gemara says, three lines from the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that Tvila for Chulin does not need Kavana. Tvila for a person should be Toivol himself, or Kalim. In order to use it for Maisusheni, you're not allowed to eat Maisusheni in the state of Tuma. Nor be Artem Emanu B'Tomei. Erev Pesach of the fourth year and the seventh year, the Shemitah cycle is divided into two units of 3 years and 3 years. The first 3 years, Yimafish Maaseh Sheni, then Maaseh Rani. First 2 years, Maaseh Sheni, the third year, Maaseh Rani. So you have until a half a year later, from Rosh Hashanah till Erev Pesach, you have, that's the Shas Habir. The Torah gives you 6 months to give away all the Truma and the Maaseh Rishon and to eat up all the Maaseh Sheni. Then the next 3 years is the same. Years number 4, 5, 6. The first 2 years, Mafish Maaseh Sheni, the third year, Mafish Maaseh Rani, and then you have a half a year till Erev Pesach of the seventh year, of the Shemitah year, to give away the Truma Gedolah, Maaseh Rishon, Maaseh Sheni. So where on Erev Pesach of the fourth year, on Erev Pesach of the seventh year, the person is supposed to recite what we call Vidui Maisa. He got to tell you how to, what do you say? He got to tell you, that's Mikra Bikurim. What do you say, Vidui Maisa? I forgot already. So part of the Vida Maisi say, Lo biyarta nemana ditome, I did not consume the Maisi Sheini in the state of Tumah. So the Gemara says in Mishnayis and Chagiga, they made a Chumra midirabbanon that when you toivel, a person is toivel, or he's toivel pots and pans, kelim, for the purpose of using it for Maisi Sheini, so you have to have the tefillah has to be tefillah tzicha kavanah midirabbanon. And even if you were toivel intending to eat Maisi Sheini, you decide you want to eat truma, you're a kohen, you want to eat truma, you have to be toivel again. If you didn't have in mind the shame truma, you have to be toivel again midirabbanon. And a third, there is no such thing. A third, you don't need kavana. And if you had in mind l'shem achilas truma, then you decide afterwards you want to eat kachem, you have to be toivel again. Fine, that's all midirabbanon. So the Gemara says uminot temro, and how do you know the third line from the bottom? Where does it say in the Mishnah is that for chulin purposes tefila ain a tzvicha kavana? So the Gemara says I have a ferish in Mishnah in mikvos. The Mishnah talks about the ocean. So the ocean, sometimes you have big waves that jump up in the air and then they land on the ground 30 feet. The ocean goes so far. And then the tide will blow a big wave that will be detached from the ocean. Detached, and it will roll on the ground until it lands. So that's called gal shenitlash, from the ocean. A big wave is detached, no longer connected with the ocean. So the question is, can someone be toivel? Can you be toivel kelim? Can a person be toivel on that wave? So I thought zerchlim. Zerchlim is no good. So the answer is no. The water in the ocean is assumed to be a mayon. So a mayon is matar bezerchlim. The water in the ocean is a mix. Some of the water is from the rain and the snow that melts in the ocean. And a lot of the water is from underground sources, where the water rained in other places and it rolled under the ground, and then it comes up from under the ground. So it really depends on roiv. If it's the Mishnah says in Mikvah, is a rob zochlim ala notvim or is a rob notvim ala zochlim? The notvim means the rainwater and the snow, and the zochlim means the water that the source of the water is from under the ground. So whichever is 51% wins. So the Mishnah is assuming that normally all the water in the ocean, the ruba of the water, way more than 50% of the water will be from underground sources. So even though less than 50%, 20%, 30% will be from megushamim and hafshara shlogim, the melting of the snow. But since the roiv is from the meimayonis, from under the ground, you go baser roiv. So that's the din. Galshen itlash, a wave flies in the air and it's rolling on the ground. They can flood the houses sometimes if you build your house too close to the ocean. Ubo aboim so, that's a problem. Why do you need aboim so? If it's metar bezerklin, it's rolling, it's metar bezerklin, so it means that you still treat it like a mayon. So a mayon doesn't need aboim so. So why does it say ubo aboim so? So one answer could be because the next line says, v'nofal al ha'adam ala kelim. So Adam needs aboim so. That's if you hold like that shita, like the Rashbo's gematria. Even for tefillah sodom, a mayon, even for tefillah sodom, you need bemso and a mayon. If you hold that tefillah sodom doesn't need bemso, halacha, I don't need bemso. Why does it say obo aboim so? So Rav Chaim has a famous essay in his Sefer on the Rambam that the dinim are not always totally zebeze, even though the Vilna Gaon quoted from the Rivosh. And Rashi sounds like he says like that on Amud Beis, that the two dinim are interconnected. A mikveh, because you need memso and not the katafis ain't a chibur, so that's why zochlim is no good, because you don't have a tzir of a memso. And a mayon, because it's metar b'mashahu, you don't need memso, so that's why you don't have to worry about zochlim, because you don't need chibur. Even a kol shehu would theoretically be good. So you just need mayim should call gufa elabahem v'asachos. So even though Rashi on Amud Beis and the Vilna Gaon quotes the Rivosh sounds like connected, over here you see it's not connected. Here it's metar bezerchlin because it's from the yam, and the yam we assume roiv ruba the ruba of the water in the ocean is mei mayon, but you still need memso. So what kind of an androgynous is that? And you have cases in the Mishnahs where it's the reverse, that you don't need memso, but zerchlin is no good. So how can it be? If you all like that, so that's what Apraim has a shtickel Torah in his sefer. He tries to explain this. If you assume, like the Vilna Gaon, b'shem the Ribosh, that the two dinim Memso and Zochem are interconnected, whenever Zochem is no good because not the Katar for Zayn Achibur, so when you need Memso, so you need a Chibur. If you don't need Memso, then you don't need a Chibur. But you have cases in the Mishnah's Beferish, like over here, where Zochem is good and you still do need Memso. So it contradicts the Klal. So Rav Chaim has a Yishuv on that. Okay. So it says in the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah, Galshin itlash from the ocean, boy boim so amnafal al ha'odim al ha'kelim, tahorim. So how do you see that it was b'li kavana? Maybe it's with kavana. So the Gemara says, my love, probably the pshat and Mishnah is odim dumya dekelim. The Tanoim, Rabbi Yudah Nasi, edited the Mishnayos, and they were from earlier generation. They used to recite brises. They would compose brises and Mishnayos along the style of the Chumash. That in the Chumash, every word counts. And if you have two dinim mentioned in the Chumash in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a relationship. There's a hekesh. Two dinim in the same pasuk is a hekesh. So here, because the Mishnah mentions v'nafal al ha'adam al ha'kelim, Gemara says adam dumi de kelim, ha'kelim dumi de adam. They're similar to each other. The Tanoim composed Mishnayos and brises ke'ein deraisa, similar to the way the Rabban Shalom composed the Psukim, that they wrote Mishnayos. It's there are no midrash hatorah and the drashas ben, but they used to compose Mishnayos and brises along the same style that the Rabban Shalom composed the Chumash. So the Gemara says, my lab adam dumi de kelim, ma kelim de lo mechapnei. The kelim are just sitting there. The kelim are just sitting on the ground. And the big galsha nitlash comes in it and it covers the whole kli. So just like the kelim have no kavana, for the nami laboy kavana. So you see that for tefillas chulin, you don't need kavana. So the Gemara says, that doesn't necessarily prove the point. Maybe it's fakert. Mimai, who says that your pshat is correct, adam dumi de kelim? Maybe it's faked. Dilma b'yoshev mitzapa askin and then say he told a shagal. Maybe the pshat and odam means the guy walked over specifically because he wants to get tohor. And maybe it's kelim dumya the odam. My odam the bar kavana. The odam maybe is talking about a case he had kavana. Av kelim nami the kol mechavan lehu odam. Maybe the kelim. Maybe everything means that there was kavana. You can't really prove in the Mishnah that there's no kavana. It's unclear from the Mishnah. They were asking, Aminotemra, where do you get your assumption from that Tvila and a mikveh never needs kavana? Maybe it's not true on the level of the rest. Maybe Tvila always needs kavana. Those Mishnais in Chagiga, they're talking, the guy had kavana l'shem Tvila, but he didn't have kavana l'shem eating Maisa Sheni. He didn't have kavana l'shem eating Truma. He didn't have kavana l'shem eating Kotchim. That you need have to be Tovah the second time, that's Madarabana. But maybe the basic din that tefillah needs kavana. Maybe that's a din deraisa by tefillah for chulin also. You know, tamer. Maybe it's not true li'olam that you do need kavana. The Gemara is going to prove it from a different mishnah. Okay, we got to continue tomorrow. This Tosfos Gzeira is a peladika Tosfos. It's very unclear what is Tosfos fighting with Rashi about.